Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. The Mark Reardon Show.
There's no big energy coming out of the Democratic Party.
Shock, disgust, happiness, sweat. A little bit of lust, baby.
It's go time. It's go, no go, lock and load, love him and leave him, smoke him if you got him, see him when I see it, because it's time for Mark Reardon time.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
All right, good afternoon. Sometimes I'm caught off guard just a little bit by the speed at which the show starts these days, because we have, this gets in the weeds, right, Sue? But we've changed the clocks, but wow. Man. It happens very quickly, and this is one of those days where, as a professional broadcaster for 40 years, part of an amateur broadcaster in the first maybe three or four, I should have my headphones. Now, thanks to Ethan, I have my headphones, because I have all kinds of stuff that I want to play, and we're going to get to it. We got Paul Morrow coming up. We'll have Governor Kehoe this afternoon. But how about we start? Ethan, were you at the game? I don't think he was at the game.
No.
Fred, you watched it. Look, I was at a swim meet last night. And I will just say that, first of all, if you're looking to extract information from someone, you know, via torture, you know, someone that you might send to Guantanamo, cut that out. Send them to a swim meet and make them sit through the whole damn thing. Now, Sue, you know I love my daughter.
Mark.
I'm just saying, you know, I was so excited when she was on the Rockwood Club because she really seemed to have talent. And then she decided she didn't want to do Rockwood, right? So she's doing Big Ben Woods, which is like a neighborhood pool thing.
Yeah, it's a fun summer thing.
Right, exactly. But these things last approximately 20 hours. I mean, it's the same length that the B-2 pilots were in the air. Back and
it's
forth.
It's not fun to watch the kids, maybe.
It's fun to watch them.
Snack.
Snacking is huge.
I get there last night, and she's in, like, you know, event number 9. Oh. And then the next event is literally, like, 42. I'm not even making that up. And
42?
All these, yeah, it was something ridiculous. Anyway, just note aside is, I think if you want to, you know, punish someone, take them to a kid's swim meet. And there's parents out there that fully agree with me on this, I guarantee. But I bring it up because I want to get into Iran, and I want to get into Trump dropping the F-bomb, and I have a couple other F-bombs that I'll share this afternoon. It's
uh-oh.
Word that I'm, well, not me, but that other people. Believe it or not, I bleeped them out.
You got all yours out already today.
Well, I think. We'll see. But since I was at the swim meet being tortured, and by the way, I was only being tortured for half the time because Becky and I sort of tag-teamed it a little bit, but while I was doing that, I missed the Cardinals game. And at one point, when I was sitting there at the swim meet, not watching anyone swim because I was just sitting there at the swim meet with the puppy, the Cardinals were just rocking and rolling last night on the Cubs.
8-2.
And at one point, when I was listening on the way home, I thought I heard them say 2 4-run home runs. Those would be 2 grand slams, but it was the opposite of that, right?
Uh-huh.
Yep. 4-2 run.
Thank you.
Okay.
Swing and a high fly down the right field line. That's deep. And it's gone! Lars Nootbaar! A 2-run shot into the bleachers in right field.
There's a drive to right field. That's hit hard. It's hit deep. It's hit out of here. A home run for Brendan Donovan. The Cardinals lead 4-1. The pitch. A swing, and there's a long one. Right field. Burleson hits it. It's a goner.
One more,
a swing, and there's a drive. That's hit to deep right center field. It's a goner for Gorman. 8-1 Cardinals.
How about that? A great start against the Cubs. What happened to that Crow guy in center field last night? He didn't do so well, did he?
He had a couple of hits and a couple of runs scored. He still was, robbed a home run. He robbed the Cardinals' fifth home run last night, too.
All right.
He just got overshadowed because the Cardinals put a spanking on the
Cubs.
What's
his name again? His whole name
Pete
is?
Pete Crow Armstrong.
That was my radio name when I was first in radio. That's what I
He's
used.
Very good. Very good.
And I always thought Ian Happ was the Cardinal killer, yet
he
grounded into a double play last night.
That was the biggest play of the game last night. The bases were loaded, one out. The Cubs were down by one. It was 2-1, and Matthew Liberatore gets a huge 5-4-3 double play, and then the Cardinals scored four runs the next inning.
That is awesome. So an amazing start. Obviously, three more games. We'll see, but that's an awesome start, especially when they're in first place and you're trying to gain ground and not really lose ground this week. So then I'll get to Scott Jennings because I couldn't help myself last night after the game. I have on YouTube TV, I'm sure you can do this on other services too, but I can do like a split screen with Fox and CNN. And I think you can even do more than that. So I was watching Fox and CNN, and CNN seemed more interesting because Jennings was on there and they were saying stupid things. And I'll get to that in a second. But I also woke up early this morning, and this was like literally one of the first things I heard.
We basically have two countries that have been fighting so long and so hard that they don't know what the they're doing. Do you understand that?
I love that. Selena Zito tweeted something out. Her new book about Trump's coming out in just a couple of weeks on July 8th. So we got to get her booked, Fred. But she said, you know, the media is going to, the legacy media is going to spend more time on the F-bomb than they will on the context of the F-bomb. I'm not so sure that actually came true today because they are talking a lot about the context. He made comments on his way to Air Force One, or was it the helicopter? And then he made comments aboard Air Force One. Here, a little bit longer cut with him not being happy with Israel. Now, at the top of the hour, I just heard Peter Doocy say that there was a, I don't know if warning is the right word here, but Trump made it clear to Bibi Netanyahu that this was it, that, you know, they're doing this unless they attack us, but this is the extent of our military operation. But then, you know, he puts the ceasefire. We were on the air yesterday when the ceasefire is announced, if you can call it a ceasefire, and then he's kind of pissed.
I didn't like plenty of things I saw yesterday. I didn't like the fact that Israel unloaded right after we made the deal. They didn't have to unload. And I didn't like the fact that the retaliation was very strong. But in all fairness, Israel unloaded a lot. And now I hear Israel just went out because they felt it was violated by one rocket that didn't land anywhere. That's not what we want, I'll tell you. And I'm telling you, I'm not happy about that, Israel, either. All I do is play both sides.
Yeah, so he's kind of concerned about the way that, you know, that all went down overnight. We'll see what happens and what develops today. By the way, I wanted to share this because I thought this was very good. And Sue, I know that you worked in the morning. Mark Cox had someone on to sort of explain the B-2 situation. But this was a pilot. I'm not going to mention his name. He was a Air Force F-16 pilot. He said he never flew the B-2, but he knows exactly, you know, what goes on. He's got colleagues and friends who haven't. He says, I wanted to answer your question from the beginning of the show about the composition of a B-2 crew. It consists of two pilots, just like an airliner, but that's it. However, on an international airline flight where the regulations require an augmented crew and there are one or more pilots who will rotate in, you know, order to let the captain first officer take a nap during the flight. The larger airliners actually have a bunk area that's unseen by the passengers. I don't think I knew that. Did you know that?
I did not.
But the B-2 does not have room for a third pilot. So he says there are two ejection seats, period. That's all there's room for. During the B-2's first operational missions, bombing Kosovo in 1999, or do you say Kosovo, ingenious pilots went down to the Knob Noster Walmart and bought camping cots, which just barely fit in the empty space behind the ejection seats. During non-critical phases of their flights, one pilot at a time can rotate out of their seat and take a nap in the cot while the other pilot flies the plane solo. Ejection seats don't recline. It is my understanding that both pilots have to be in their seat during air refuelings and obviously during takeoff and landing and over the target area. This is what's really interesting. Endurance and managing their sleep cycles and fatigue are such a key part of their mission that B-2 pilots are actually required to do endurance simulators where they literally just fly the simulator at Whiteman for more than 24 hours.
Wow.
And he says maybe even longer than that, just to practice and prove that they can handle it. It's kind of like going to a swim meet for 5 hours, let me tell you. And all the psychological challenges that come with it. So I found that really, really
that
interesting. So then just to kind of circle back, I'm watching the split screen. I'm trying to get a bunch in here because we have Congressman Mark Alford, who represents the district in the Kansas City part of the state where Whiteman Air Force Base is. And he was on Fox on Sunday. I heard him. He was outstanding. And we're going to talk with him. We have Paul Morrow coming up. But I'm watching the split screen, and Scott Jennings is on the panel with Abby and a bunch of other people. Cornell West is on there, you know, with his crazy hair. And there's this woman named, it's a blonde. I didn't know who she was. Her name is Johanna Mosca. And she's identified as someone who worked in the Obama administration. And she's just saying a bunch of stuff. And I will tell you that there was an indication, I wasn't the only one who felt this way, because Jason Howerton, who's a guy that I follow on Twitter, he tweeted this out. There was an indication that Johanna might have sipped a little bit too much before the show, so this was one of the reactions.
I'm just saying, you're popping champagne. Oh, Trump, I'm taking my victory lap over here, and I think it's a little premature. That's all I'm saying.
It's a victory lap for American
Which
leadership.
Of us is popping champagne?
Okay, so do you hear that comment? Which, I mean, I think there's a 98% chance that she was kind of liquored up on that set last night, and I wasn't the only one who felt that way because there were people that were tweeting about it as well. But Jennings made some broader points about all this.
You can't violate national sovereignty of a country.
Why?
Why?
We do it all the time.
I know, because America violates international law all the time.
Who's going to stop us? Who's going to stop us? Decades,
you would think morality ought to play some role.
You think it's immoral to stop Iran from getting a nuclear weapon?
Yeah, so that's Cornell West making a fool out of himself last night. Now, look, I'm going to say something, and I said this yesterday. We'll talk about it a little bit with some of our guests this afternoon. The ROI question is legit. So, in other words, and we'll talk with Paul Morrow about this, and I do have some audio. Lindsey Graham was on earlier today on Fox, and he said, because there's an indication, remember yesterday, Sue, we were talking about how far does this put them behind in nuclear capabilities?
Right.
Well, I heard over the weekend, is it 2 years or 3 years? Is it Trump made it seem like it was 30 years? Well, even Lindsey Graham said, I'm not optimistic that they got it all. So then where does that leave us? If they're only 2 years behind on creating a nuclear weapon, you know, this, I don't know what the price tag is. The price tag is ginormous on this. How much did it cost, and did we get ROI? That's one of my questions that we'll address. We'll ask Congressman Alford that when he joins us at the bottom of the hour. We got Paul Morrow coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to.
Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Congressman Mark Alford from the other side of the state, who said on Fox on Sunday that yesterday he was going out to Whiteman and meet some of the pilots. His district includes Whiteman Air Force Base, so that's the home of the B-2 bombers, the 509th Bomber Wing. He's going to join us after the bottom of the hour. But first, our friend Paul Morrow is back with us. We're going to talk about several things, including the mayor's race in New York City, which is today. He's a retired NYPD inspector, attorney, founder of a great website, theopsdesk.org. Paul, welcome back. How are you this afternoon?
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Well, let me get your thoughts first and foremost. I saw you on Fox earlier today about the situation in Iran, the reaction to the situation, the ceasefire that fell apart, Trump dropping the F-bomb today. That's getting a fair amount of attention. Thoughts on any of that as we get started?
Well, I think that if you were reading the tea leaves, and I don't want to take a victory lap because there are no victory laps here, but that said, last week I said, look, he's going to move. But when he does, it's only going to be when he knows, you know, to the extent that you can know, but that he's fairly confident that he's going to be able to do this thing successfully. And I think the equities were as follows. In addition to all the overlay of Israeli-Iranian geopolitics, Donald Trump had to make sure that in response to any move by America, that Iran didn't attack American assets in the Middle East. He didn't want, he came in on an anti-war platform, but he also had to be worried about the NATO mission inside of Baghdad, the NATO mission in Iraq, as it's called, the NMI, which is ongoing. There are NATO allies in there stabilizing Iraq, and he is today at the NATO summit in The Hague. And the last thing Donald Trump wanted to do was to go into The Hague when he's there to browbeat them into kicking up to 5% of GDP for their militaries. He didn't want to have to try to explain away dead or injured German, French, British, Dutch soldiers. So there were a lot of vectors blowing through this thing. He wanted to make sure he could move when there was going to be no risk of that and no risk of a B-2 stealth bomber, probably our most sensitive technology, getting shot down and landing inside Iran, which means Iran would have that technology, and which means the Chinese, Russians, and the North Koreans would have it in a week. So I think all of those things were blowing through this, and he was not going to move. Moving made sense in the way that he did in a limited strike, but it only made sense when you were really sure of victory. And he got to that point, I assume, on assurances from not only our intel, but Israeli intel and Israeli operations, and when they could assure him a corridor of safety for the B-2s, he pulled the trigger. So hats off. It looks to me, while it may look to some the left is calling it impulsive and all sort of nonsense, it was anything but. And I think there's a good chance that it changes history for the positive.
Yeah, you know, obviously some of the things that are coming from Jasmine Crockett and AOC are just kooky. There was even, you know, I mentioned this earlier, there was a Washington Post editorial from three esteemed law professors who said, look, he has it in his constitutional responsibilities to do what he did here to Iran. So I don't really question that. Now, have you dug into the, I'm going to spend a little time on this later in the show, the Marjorie Taylor Greene response to all this? Because I don't think what she said is all illegitimate. I support the strikes, but then where I have some hesitation is I even heard Lindsey Graham and others say, well, this puts them behind 2 years in the nuclear capabilities. That's not exactly what we heard over the weekend, and I think that would be cause for some concern, wouldn't it?
Yeah, of course it would. And you have to say to yourself, look, if Iran is going to take the position, which the head of their atomic agency did today, as they're literally the ink is drying on the ceasefire, saying something like, oh, we're just going to go back to enriching and we're going to reconstitute the program. That's the exact wrong thing to say at this point. And while we don't want to be in a forever war with Iran, I get that. What is the alternative? That a messianic jihadi regime, a nation state that has the mindset of the 9/11 bombers, is going to have a nuclear weapon? If we don't think that that's a game changer, and then the idea that we can put our heads in the sand and say, Fortress America, none of this stuff can reach us, is preposterous. The world is very much smaller than it was even during the Cold War. And the idea that they are not going to have the capability of reaching New York or Washington is just a non-starter, because maybe they don't now, but once they have a nuke, look, no nation gives away a nuke, and no nation wants to be responsible for either even selling a nuclear device, certainly to a nutcase like Iran. But I can tell you that the North Koreans would be happy to sell them an ICBM or some delivery system that would allow them to get a nuke into play in our hemisphere. So these arguments I find anachronistic. I think that the day is come and gone for us to be able to say Fortress America, put our heads in the sand. We know, by that calculus, we would really realistically not be able to project power anywhere. And if anybody thinks that just by saying, okay, we can grow our own food, do everything ourselves, if they don't think that's going to be a tremendous shock to the American system and American prosperity, they're wrong.
Yeah.
I do like reconsolidating and protecting and sort of drawing back a bit. I don't want to be the world's policeman and no more nation building.
But well, yeah.
The time for us to put our heads in the sand is over.
Well, and I agree with all that. My only hesitation in any of this is hearing that maybe this, you know, we don't know how much they moved around of the uranium, so there's that. Maybe the Chinese did something as well. But again, my only hesitation is if we only put the kibosh on this temporarily, we went in with a pretty heavy strike. That doesn't seem as much ROI as was sold by the president over the weekend. But look, I don't think we know all the facts at this point either.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know that we'll ever know what the ROI is on this. It looks pretty clear. I shouldn't say it looks pretty clear. It looks quite possible that they had moved some of the enriched uranium. But again, you could say, well, you should have moved quicker. But I really think it came down to the calculus of when can I move with an assurance of safety and success? And again, the alternative, which is likely what we would have gotten under the Biden administration, would have been another 4 years of hand-wringing. And in that time, almost certainly, Iran would have announced, we have a functional nuclear weapon, and Tel Aviv, you're on notice.
Yeah.
And then there would have been a whole new kettle of fish and a whole new bunch of naysayers. There's an old saying in foreign policy, your choices are between a bad choice and a worse choice. We took the least bad choice here, and I'll take whatever success we got for the time being. It's never going to be perfect. It never is.
I have Congressman Mark Alford, who's from the Kansas City side of the state, including Whiteman Air Force Base, coming up here after your segment. It's going to be interesting to hear his perspective. All right, so I don't know. I want to talk about this mayoral race in New York City. I don't know what your gut check is, but it was interesting. I don't know if you saw the editorial in the Chicago Tribune. Want to know how a socialist mayor would govern New York City? Ask Chicago, and that's pretty accurate with Brandon Johnson, isn't it?
Oh, it absolutely is. And I did see that piece that's bounced around here in New York considerably because everybody considers it prescient. And but that said, look, you shouldn't need that article to know that this guy Mamdani is a disaster. What he's promising are all of the hallmarks of communism. And he's an outright Marxist. This is a guy who not long ago, a couple of years, I saw that he was tweeting to communists overseas who had won elections. I mean, as in communists, members of the Communist Party, congratulations, comrade, and things like that. And so they're calling him a socialist. That's a soft pedal. He's a communist. He wants to take over the means of production, essentially. He wants to make New York City's food stores owned by the government. He
right.
wants to take over most of the housing policies. He wants to all, but now he's backing off of defund the police because it's become a little bit less politically tenable. But he's talking about all kinds of replacement procedures for the police. Those will fail, and then he'll have to come back and reconstitute everything, and by then the streets will be littered with the dead bodies. He is completely untested, completely inexperienced, completely naive, entirely radical, adjacent to some people that have really troubling terrorism ties, and he is an anti-Semite. And I don't, you know, I say that without reservation because there's no other way to read some of the things he has said and done. And if this idiot city decides to vote for this guy because they bought into some TikTok videos, they deserve what they get.
All right, but
and
so
I say that as a New Yorker.
Yeah, so Cuomo is, like, even in the Tribune editorial, they say front runner and former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is in a tight race. So this is a tight race. I mean, he could win this. Is that what you're saying? Or is Cuomo heavily favored, would you say, in your opinion?
No, my mom okay. Danny's favorite as of now.
Wow.
Mom Danny is favored as of now because of ranked choice voting, and this is why they put through ranked choice voting. Nobody needed ranked choice voting in New York. There was nothing wrong with the electoral system. It worked. They got this in so that they could split the vote on Democrat moderates and elect hyper progressives. And you don't have to look any further than the announced strategy of the far left candidates in this race. They know they can't win, so they're telling everybody, rank Mamdani number one,
right.
Not rank Cuomo anywhere. People forget, Adams got in, our current mayor, got in on the sixth round of balloting. And he only got in by about a half a point. It just creates chaos. It's expensive. You need multiple runoffs. Ultimately, right now, Mamdani is favored to win, I think, on the third ballot is what they're expecting. And then what it comes down to is generally in New York, the Democratic primary is the election for mayor.
Right,
and this
exactly.
is where it, you know, evolves to, and this is what you get. But this year, if it is him, well, this year might be the first year where I could say, you know what, you could have a dark horse and somebody like Curtis Sliwa, who is the Republican, or Eric Adams, who is running as an independent. I don't think any of the other independents have enough name recognition, but Adams has been such a non-entity. This goes back to what I just said about foreign policy. Frankly, Mark, it's a choice between, it is your least bad choice. Now,
yeah.
I said, I think Curtis Sliwa could be a good mayor if they'll give him a shot, but, you know, he has that R after his name, and in this town, that's usually the kiss of death.
Yeah, and look, he's been the never-ending candidate for mayor, and obviously we go back quite a few decades with Curtis Sliwa. There's no doubt about that. Hey, one thing I did want to get in here, because we're going to run out of time, is that I saw some breaking news this afternoon that a grand jury has indicted Carmelo Anthony on this first-degree murder charge for the stabbing death of Austin Metcalf. This was during a track meet in April. I don't know what took so long. You and I, I'm sure, talked about it at the time, Paul.
Yeah, I mean, this is the system grinding slow. There was a lot of attention on this. It's become racially charged. There's a GoFundMe for him. But according to the story and the evidence that's out, the reporting indicates that there was enough of a case there. The grand jury came back first degree. It's not death penalty, probably because of his age. He would be looking at 99 years as the top sentence. But there was other reporting recently that there's a video that demonstrates that the counter narrative that had been put out about what happened is, in fact, not true. And that this is one of those cases, much like Karen Reed,
yeah,
that got tried in the media. And that's not always the best place for it to be. And the DA down in Frisco, Texas, released a statement today saying, essentially, let's try this in the courtroom, please, because that's where it should be.
So on the Karen Reed front, I was out last week, so I didn't talk about it, but I did pay attention. I knew that she was found not guilty, and you and I talked about that. Look, I think they overcharged in that case, and I watched the documentary, and I guess they're going to get a great season two on Netflix because of the verdict, and maybe they would have one way or the other, but there was too much reasonable doubt. At least the defense planted too much reasonable doubt, and I guess even the jury foreman is speaking out for the first time saying that she didn't do this crime. I think she ran over him with the car, okay, personally, but I don't think it was a murder charge.
The thing about that is that it gets very legally nuanced, Mark, and I was inclined to agree with you, but after really delving into it, just putting my lawyer hat on, it's very boring. But what it comes down to is you didn't need intent for murder two, you need it for murder one. For murder two, you just need malice aforethought, and the definition of malice aforethought does include being extremely reckless. And so the theory for the murder two charge was that anybody who would drive forward 6 feet and then reverse at 24 miles an hour at whatever it was, 15 feet or something, and then sideswipe her boyfriend and then drive away, leaving him in the snow without checking on him and seeing what happened, is extremely reckless by definition. So it makes it a little bit more reasonable. I'm not sure I disagree with you, by the way. It might have just been cleaner to go with the manslaughter charge, and who knows, you might have got there. But look, I think it was tried in the media, and I'll just close with this. For us to believe that she had not done it, what you'd have to buy is the alternative narrative again, which involves well into double figures, multiple agencies, all of them keeping perfect operational security, no texts or anything like that, didn't know each other, all of them colluding on this arabesque complex conspiracy. And then at the end of the day, as part of this genius conspiracy, let's dump them on our front lawn.
And that did not happen. Yeah. I think we know that. Paul Morrow, you're always great. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Keep us posted on the mayor's race.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, take care.
Will do, pal. Take care.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores?
How many kids to a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I was monitoring Fox on Sunday after the B-2s flew to Iran and back, and I heard Congressman Mark Alford, who's been a guest on the show before. He's from the Kansas City side of the state. He represents the district that Whiteman Air Force Base is in, and he's with us this afternoon. Congressman, how are you? What a mission over the weekend. I think you even went out there yesterday to Whiteman, didn't you?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Mark. Thanks for having me on once again. Love your show. Look, we are so proud of the men and women. The 509th, the 131st, all the great pilots, the maintainers, air traffic controllers out at Whiteman Air Force Base who successfully completed the mission that Donald J. Trump authorized to take out the nuclear capabilities of Iran. And you may have heard just within the hour, Iran has now committed to never making nuclear weapons, to getting rid of its stockpiles of the highly enriched uranium. This is what winning looks like.
Yeah, so that's a good update, because one of the things I was going to ask, because I've heard these predictions that this only sets them back like a couple of years. And over in the other chamber in the Senate, here's what Lindsey Graham said today.
I will not be optimistic until I hear the Iranian regime say publicly, we recognize Israel's right to exist as a nation and the Jewish people's right to live in peace with the rest of the region. When they say that, I will have a sense of optimism I don't have today.
And he also went on to say, look, he's not sure about if the if what happened on Saturday really did destroy the nuclear capability. So you're saying now that some of the diplomacy is actually coming to the forefront and working in the aftermath of this attack?
Look, Mark, clearly it's working. I understand where Lindsey's coming from. I've been around the block as well. We've been dealing with this for 43 years. The Islamic terrorists from Iran, the Ayatollah, the Iranian hostage crisis, the continuing bombing of Israel, taking embassies hostage, killing Americans, blowing up embassies. We get it, but this is a first step to bring the Ayatollah to his knees. And he now has a choice. This is a time for choosing for the Ayatollah. He has a choice between peace and chaos, for prosperity or poverty, and for isolationism between their country and the rest of the Arab world, or to be welcomed into an area that wants to do trade, that wants to have normalcy with Iran. I think he's coming to realize that President Trump means business. This is not the administration that Biden left behind, where there was inaction, red lines drawn, and nothing was ever done. President Trump means business. He has brought that attention to the Ayatollah. I think what Lindsey Graham is saying is that really until the Ayatollah is gone and there's really a regime that's not an autocracy, we're not going to see true change. And that may be coming. That's going to depend upon the Iranian people. But for now, I think this is a huge win for President Trump, a huge win for the American people, a huge win for Israel, a huge win for Whiteman Air Force Base. And everyone listening right now should be grateful that we have a commander-in-chief behind that resolute desk who's a resolute leader.
He certainly does what he says, and there was a timeline here that he stuck to. But then, obviously, you're aware that this morning he was not too happy with either side.
We basically have two countries that have been fighting so long and so hard that they don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
He's always rather candid, isn't he, Congressman? and I get it. I get the frustration there. So I guess part of the question is, you know, did Israel step over the line in the aftermath of this announced ceasefire? And then the other thing is, I just heard at the top of the hour, Peter Doocy at Fox reporting that it was really clear that the president told Bibi Netanyahu that this was it, you know, unless we're attacked, but we're not going in and doing anything more, at least now. Is that your understanding as well?
That's my understanding as well. Look, Iran had to save a little face. They sent some rockets or missiles into Qatar, but warned Qatar and the United States that those were coming. Those were shot down into the waters there off the coast. And what President Trump was able to do before he left for the Netherlands, he was able to convince Bibi Netanyahu, hey, do not retaliate. Wave off your planes. That's exactly what they did. You know, and I understand President Trump's frustration. Look, he has been working hard. He is a peacemaker. He wants peace in the Middle East. He wants peace between Ukraine and Russia. Yes, President Trump dropped the F-bomb today, but we dropped 14 bombs over the weekend that have made a definitive difference and will set us apart. We'll set this administration apart as a peacemaker like we've never seen before.
Now, were you actually able to meet with some of the pilots that conducted this mission when you went to Whiteman yesterday?
No, they were still resting up. I got
them
there pretty early, and I did meet with the new commander. Get this, this new commanding officer, Colonel Whitla, just came from Ellsworth Air Force Base in the Dakotas and transferred over to Whiteman. And so he only had 2 days on the job when this mission was taking place. The previous commanding officer, who I'm friends with, Colonel Butler, they had been working on this for 10 years. This is not something that just happens overnight. The planning, the execution, the refueling missions to get seven B-2 bombers up in the air, fully loaded with 15 tons of armaments and bombs. They couldn't even fill up the planes with fuel. They had to partially fill them because of the weight, get them up into the air, then start refueling as they hopscotch their way over to Iran. And it's just a remarkable thing. And when they came home, they all came home the other night, evening, and all seven of them in a formation circled Whiteman Air Force Base and then landed one by one as the men and women who work on that base cheered them on. Just a great moment of pride for Missouri, Whiteman Air Force Base in the 4th Congressional District.
You know, I shared some information from an F-16 pilot because I had questions yesterday, just basic ones like, what do you do when you're on a flight that long when you have to maybe go to the bathroom? And he explained some of the particulars. But one of the things that stuck out is he said that sometimes these guys have to spend 24 hours even in the simulator, if not more, just to prepare for missions like this.
They are definitely trained for this. I've been up inside the B-2 stealth bomber. It is very cramped quarters. There is a chemical toilet in there. There's a little cot to lay down on, but they rarely even lie down because they're so attuned to the focus and mission at hand. One of the funny stories of what I was up there a couple of years ago, that when I first got into office, I wanted to go inside the B-2. It's a very classified top secret setting, but I noticed a little, you know, this is a $2.1 billion aircraft, okay? Built in the late 80s. They first got to Whiteman Air Force Base in 1993. Originally, we were going to build 132. We ended up only building 21, but I kept inside this $2.1 billion aircraft, and there's a $2 Christmas tree air freshener in there like you would get at the car wash. I said, what in the world is this doing here? They said, well, sir, it gets a little stinky when you drive when you're in the air for 36 hours with two people. I totally get that. And the good news, Mark, we are building something even better.
Yeah.
The B-21 Raider.
That's right.
That's being built in Palmdale, California right now. We're going to build a minimum of 100 of those, and it's going to be it's even more stealthy than the stealth bomber is now. I know that's probably not the technical term, but advanced capabilities that this one will have. And it's going to be a great deterrent against communist China, against Xi Jinping, against Vladimir Putin, and any other adversary that wants to doubt the United States of America. We have shown them, President Trump has shown them, what peace through strength looks like.
Congressman Mark Alford, thank you. I know how busy you are. I appreciate you coming on here this afternoon with your update.
Thank you. God bless.
All right. Take care. Now, if I would have had a little bit more time, we were pressed on time, but I do want to get to this because it's Telephone Tuesday, Sue. I don't know if you know it's Telephone Tuesday.
I'm aware.
But it's Tuesday. That means Telephone Tuesday. But Marjorie Taylor Greene went out there pretty hardcore against this strike and called it a bait and switch. And that's one of the questions we'll ask and pose to you, the listeners, a little later this afternoon. Well, every once in a while, the host plays a piece of audio that he did not intend to play, and I want to kind of circle back to this because we had limited time with Congressman Alford, but this is what caught my attention earlier today from Lindsey Graham, and it's one of those situations where you don't really know what is the truth. And let me go back to the claims from AOC, and we got Jasmine Crockett out there, even, you know, our St. Louis native, talking about how this was unconstitutional. You had three law professors who wrote a piece in the Washington Post, of all sources, that said that this is well within the right of the president. There should be no disagreement about this whatsoever. Even Thomas Massie. Now, Tom Massie is a congressman from Kentucky who is pretty anti-Semitic. I think he's a Republican who has not really backed a lot of the things that's been happening in the Trump administration, especially when it comes to Israel. But he even said, I think he kind of flew out of the box pretty early here, claiming that this perhaps was unconstitutional, and he has changed his mind on that. But this is what Lindsey Graham said, and this would be my main concern. Look, I'm all in on destroying nuclear capabilities from a terrorist state like Iran, who have been telling us for years that they want death to America, right? And I'll circle back on that here in a second. There's an interesting cut from Aaron Burnett and someone over at CNN. But this is what Lindsey Graham said earlier that caught my attention. I mean, is there return on investment, as I was saying with Paul Morrow?
It's a good thing if it leads to peace. It will be a step backward if it leads to an ability of Iran to rearm and retool. And the head atomic scientist in Iran, the one who's still alive, said they're going right back to enrichment. So I'm not so sure we solved the problem yet.
So did we solve the problem? That would be one thing that would be a question. And look, this thing cost billions and billions of dollars. I'll get to what Marjorie Taylor Greene said a couple of days ago on the backside of Sue's News in the next hour, because I want to take some phone calls about that. But this is quite stunning. You know, I mentioned yesterday that I couldn't help myself on Saturday night. I wanted to see how CNN was covering all this. They seemed lost. You know, nobody wanted to praise the military. They wanted to, you know, instinctively criticize President Trump. So this is Dana Bash. Well, you tell me what your take is on this.
Okay.
So this is Dana Bash with Aaron Burnett talking about, you know, because now what are the Iranian people going to do? They don't even have the information on this because they're not allowed to have the information. Will there be regime change? We say we're not going to be a part of that. Will it come from the inside with the Iranian people? But let's circle back to the chance of death to America that have been around there for, you know, decades and decades. I mentioned Rocky Sigmund yesterday. I thought about Rocky Sigmund, who was our St. Louis, you know, hostage during the Iranian hostage crisis. He's out of town this week. I wanted to get him on the air with his perspective. I think Fred said that he'll be on with us next week. But so this is the conversation on CNN. You tell me what the interpretation of this soundbite is.
The question is whether or not the calm can remain when the regime is that is still there, who wants death to America, death to Israel, stays in place, and that is part of the discussion, right?
Okay, so that's a pretty good question. That's Dana Bash. Yeah, that should be part of the discussion. So Aaron Burnett's response is this.
Yes, absolutely part of the discussion. And, you know, I remember, Dana, at one point being in Tehran years ago, and they're chanting death to America all around me, even as I say, oh, I'm an American reporting for CNN, and they were happy to speak to me. So that those two is sort of jarring realities of the chant, and yet the friendliness have existed together.
Wait, what? She's basically saying, you know what? They don't really mean that death to America stuff. They were so nice to me when I was there. I don't know that we should believe it. That was a very confusing take from Aaron Burnett. Now, maybe she kind of got a little confused in her head, but I was stunned by that. I was also stunned by something else that I don't have time to get to, but I'm going to get to it a little bit later. There is, well, maybe I can cheat here a little bit. No, I think Ethan's going to yell at me. There is a vice mayor of a city called Cudahy. There's a Cudahy, Wisconsin. This is in L.A. It's in southeast L.A. County. She is now under FBI investigation after, and I have the audio of this. She pulled the video down. She posted a video to social media in which she appears to call for the gang members in L.A. to defend their territory from ICE, even urging gang leadership to get your blanking members in order. Cynthia Gonzalez is her name. And this is something that, you know, kind of slips through the cracks in the news cycle because there's so much going on. But it is stunning. Now, Bill Malusian was reporting about this on Fox and says essentially the post was pulled down and they're investigating her. I think she did get a visit from, you know, federal authorities because the post was so outrageous. We have a lot to get to here this afternoon. First of all, Fred has a new wardrobe that he's kind of...
What?
Well, he's accidentally fallen into a new part of his wardrobe. Remember this from yesterday? We did not talk about it on the air, but I noticed, Sue, he's doing it again today.
I love it.
He also has some new food favorites, including some Pringles that are of unique flavor. We're going to get to that in the next hour. We also have Sue's news. We have George Rosenthal, one of the owners of ThrottleNet, because cyber attacks are one way that Iran can retaliate. So we'll get his take on that. And then I mentioned we're going to try to squeeze some phone calls in, too, because it's Telephone Tuesday. Governor Kehoe, after 5 o'clock on the new police commission, and candidly, I'm not really impressed with the members, but we'll tackle that right at 5:04.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.